Today's shiur is Masechta Bava Basra, Daf Kuf Lamed Aleph. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Kuf Lamed Aleph, two lines from the top. Boy Rava. Rava asked the following question. Bebori Heich. What is the halacha by a bori, by a healthy person? We've been speaking till now about a shchimira. That a shchimira, the halacha is the shchimira. Kiksum kumshum dami. And because, as the Rishonim explained, the Rashbam, he is a person who is unfortunately very ill. So he's expecting, unfortunately, to pass away shortly. So that's why he is in the category of an individual who is able and ready to give away Yerusha. But when we speak about a healthy person who isn't in that situation, and moreover, as the Rosh adds to this discussion, by a shchimera, throughout Shas, we know that the halacha is divrei shchimera kiksuvim kumesurim dami. So the Torah gave the transaction that a shchimera makes very strong power. The question is, what do we say by a bori? And the Gemara elaborates. Ki kama Rabbi Yochanan ben Broicha. When the Rabbi Yochanan ben Broicha say that as long as the person who's receiving what this person is giving away as a Yerusha was said only by a Shchimera, as we just explained, the Bar Arusi, he is a person who's in the time and place that's giving away Yerusha, and he has the special halachas of a Shchimera. That's why by him we say it. Avo Babari, when we speak about a healthy person, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broicha did not say this halacha about being able to manipulate the Yerusha as long as it's amongst people who are Yarshim, or Dilma, perhaps, Afilu Bebari Nami, the Rabbi Yochanan ben Broicha said his halacha even by a Bari, because the Bari, the Torah says, as we've learned, B'yayman Chilo Yisbonov, that's the basis for Rabbi Yochanan ben Broicha's halacha. And the Torah, when it says that halacha, doesn't differentiate between someone who's a shchimera and someone who's not a shchimera. Because the Torah doesn't differentiate that way, there's no reason to assume that Rabbi Yochanan ben Broicha makes that distinction. But the Rishonim make a very important point related to something that we discussed in our previous year. In our previous year, we had a discussion when this halacha that Rabbi Yochanan ben Broicha has been teaching us is utilized. The question we discussed, can the person retract? Say the Rishonim, that's only by a shchimera where we have that discussion. But when we speak about a bori, everybody will agree that the halacha is that he can retract. The Tzoyis is not certain about this. And the Tzoyis wants to suggest that just like we said, perhaps, that according to Rabbi Yochanan Broicha, this kind of declaration cannot be retracted. That will be the halacha, whether the person who made the declaration is a shchimera or a bori. Amalei Ramashar Shel Rava. Toshma, let's bring a raya from this. Damalei Reb Nosson LeRebbe. Reb Nosson said to Rebbe, Shenisam Mishnaschem. We know Rebbe was the one that compiled the Mishnayos. And Reb Nosson from Bavel told Rebbe, who was in Eretz Yisrael, who compiled the Mishnayos, Shenisa Mishnaschem Rebbe Yochanan ben Broicha. The Mishnah that you wrote follows the opinion of Rebbe Yochanan ben Broicha, because the Mishnah Masechta Ksuvos says, Loikosovlo, if a husband did not write to his wife in the Ksuba, Benin Dichrin the Havenlach Minoi, your male children that you will have from me, ina yaras kesef ksuboskan yas al chakeim dem chum. When I pass away, they will get the ksuba that their mother is entitled to if the mother passed away while the husband was still alive. So had the husband predeceased the wife, then the wife obviously collects the ksuba. But if the wife predeceases the husband. She never collected the ksuba. And the ksa, there's a concept of ksubas benindichrin. And as the Gemara Masechta Ksubas over there explains what is the basis of the ksubas benindichrin, but just let's learn the Gemara. Even if it wasn't explicitly included in the ksuba chayiv, he has to follow the ksubas benindichrin, the Tanai Bezdin. It's a Tanai Bezdin. What is the ksubas benindichrin? That the brother, a woman is entitled to ksuba. A woman is also entitled to Taisvus ksuba. And typically, women, as they got married in time of Chazal, brought in a dunya, a dowry, into the marriage. Chazal were concerned that father-in-laws will not want to participate in an adunya. And the reason that father-in-laws will not want to give a generous dowry is because they were concerned that, let's say the wife dies before the husband. The husband, as we've been learning throughout our perek, becomes the yoirish, the inheritor of the wife's assets. And now when the husband dies, all of his children are his yarshim. Who are all of his children? Children from the wife and children from any other wife. Now this person, this father-in-law, says to himself, not only is my nedunya going to my son-in-law, who is inheriting my daughter when she dies, it's going to go to his yarshim, who are the tsar of my daughter, a person who's obviously not very popular in that family. So the father-in-law is going to say, I'm not prepared to give a decent nedunya for that purpose. And in order to avoid that kind of a situation, Chazal included the ksubas benindichrin. The ksubas benindichrin, without going into all of the details of a ksubas benindichrin, essentially says that the assets that this woman brought into the marriage are going to go to her children exclusively, to her sons exclusively. There is a discussion amongst the Rishonim, does this also include the Yerusha that a Bechor is entitled to? The Shilta Gevarim's opinion is that it doesn't have the ability, that the Bechor, as we've been learning in our Perek, has his share, and that cannot be touched. The Tashbatz says that, obviously the other way, he says that if we're trying to protect the assets of one wife, so just like the children of the other wife should not be entitled to those assets, then the same thing will be regarding the ksubas benedichrin. The bechor is not entitled to that portion. Says the Gemara that even though the ksubas benedichrin was not explicitly written out, we have to follow it because Tanai Bezdin who? It's considered a Tanai Bezdin that self-understood. Now says the Gemara that the Mishnah should have been stated, that Mishnah, Reb Nosson says, in Masechta Ksubas that we just learned, should have been taught in a way that isn't just according to Reb Yochanan and Braika, but it should have been taught even in a way that follows the opinion of the Rabbanan. Because we always want to mention the opinion of Rabbanan, because we always want to go with the Rabbim, the Rabbanan versus the Yochid. So this Mishnah says that this is Reb Yochanan. We first glance, that Mishnah is following the opinion of Reb Yochanan Breika, who says the father could choose amongst Yarshim who should get more or less. And that was Reb Nosson's problem with that Mishnah, to which Rebbe said, Yizbun Tanan, that the wording of the Mishnah should not be Yirsun, which means a Yerusha, which would mean we're following the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan Breika that certain Yarshim can be picked out versus other Yarshim. Clearly, the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan Breika. Rather, it should be said Yispin Tanan. Yispin means it's a Matana. And if it's a Matana, so then that's the way Rashbam explains. So then it has nothing to do with Hilchos Yerusha and has nothing to do with Alok Rabbi Yochanan Breika has been teaching us. Rashi Masechta Ksubas says Yizbun means, and I sort of arrived takes a similar approach, that it means a maton, that it means a bal choiv, that I'm obligating myself, but not because of Yerusha. Vamer Rebbe, and that's, so Rebbe said, that's the wording of that Mishnah. And therefore, that Mishnah doesn't specifically represent the opinion of Rechem and Breika. But then Rebbe commented, Yaldus Hayisibai, it was wrong for me to answer that way. He asked the Panei B'Nosson Abavli, and I tried to get Rabbi Yochanan B'Nosson to back off from me because I was, and I said something that was incorrect. And from here, teaches us the Shailus Yaivitz, that from here we learn that we're not supposed to be scared off, even if it's a Talmud in front of his Rebbe. Even under those circumstances, one should not be scared off by saying what's right. And therefore, says Rebbe, I did the wrong thing by saying something wrong. El the Kaimelon, says the Gemara, because I could have asked. The halacha is, benin dichron leitafim mishabdi. Any assets that are mortgaged that the father leaves over, the ksubis benin dichron obligation doesn't touch them. In other words, let's say the father owed one of his wives that was still alive at the time of his death a ksuba. So the ksubas ben adikrin can't override that obligation. Now says Rebbe, Isal k'datach yizbun tanan, if we're going to say that the proper wording of that Mishnah is yizbun, amay lo tafim mishabdi, it becomes a gift. And a gift is something that if the gift was given before these assets, if the gift was given before these assets, then the obligation is there even before anything was mortgaged. So, Amaylo Tafim Meshabdi, El Shmamina, says Rebbe, the answer is that Shmamina, that the proper wording is Yirsun Tanan, and it's a Yerusha. And therefore, the halacha is that we know that even if there's a Yerusha, the Yerusha does not supersede any obligations that the father had that he has to be paid off. And the Rishonim Ritva asks, Rebbe makes this point. When Rebbe said it to Reb Nosson, why didn't Reb Nosson ask this question? Says the Ritva, three terutzim. One terutz is that Reb Nosson knew to ask this question, but he wanted Rebbe on his own to come to this recognition. Another terutz that he suggests is that not only does Reb Nosson hold about the power of a ksubas ben adikrin, but Reb Nosson holds that a ksubas ben adikrin supersedes as a mortgage. And a third teretz that Ritva suggests is that even when Reb Nosson thought that when Rebbe says Yizbun Tanan, Rebbe didn't mean to say to the degree that it should supersede everything. He recognized that it's a gift, but it's a limited gift. So explain the Rashbam. Part of what Rebbe means to say in this Gemara is that yes, the reason the Mishnah in Masechta Ksubas is stated the way the Mishnah in Masechta Ksubas is stated is because the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Breika, and therefore I have no problem saying the Mishnah and teaching the Mishnah in a way that is consistent with Rabbi Yochanan ben Breika's opinion, because that is actually what my opinion is. But says the Gemara, Man Shamat Le Dislehei Svara. Who is the man, the Omer, that holds this concept that we've been discussing, that you could give to one child more than to another child, which is another form of what a ksubas ben adikrin is? It's Rabbi Yochanan ben Breika. And that Mishnah that speaks about the ksubas ben adikrin is speaking about a young married couple. So we see that ksubas ben adikrin is that the halacha that Rabbi Yochanan ben Breika has been teaching us, that one can give one child, as long as he's a Yorish, more than to another child, is indeed the opinion Rav Yochanan ben Breita said it even by a bori, which was the question that we began our shiur today with. Is this halacha only said by a shchimera, or is this halacha even said by a bori? And now we clearly have a proof that this halacha that we've been teaching about is applicable to a bori as well as to a shchimera. And that's the way the Rashbam learns the Gemara, that the question that we started the shiur with, that this halacha that we've been discussing applies to a bari as well as to a shchimera. The Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, however, follow the opinion of other Rishonim, Tosfos and Rosh, who say that the Gemara has not conclusively resolved this question. And they therefore say that a healthy man who wishes to distribute his estate unequally amongst his sons should do so in the form of a gift rather than as a Yerusha, because we're not sure if Rabbi Yochanan ben Breita said his halacha to a bari as well. The Migdash David says that even though, as we just learned, the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Yochanan ben Breita and don't give the father the special authority to manipulate his estate, he says the Rabbanan do agree that even if the estate is going to be divided equally, the father has the power to designate which possession should go to which children. That means, if a father prior to his death says Reuven should inherit his fields and Shimon should inherit his houses, so the Chacham agree that as long as the property are equal in value, the father's instructions should be followed. That means that according to all opinions, the father is empowered to designate which of his Yorshim should get which possession. So says the Migdash David, that even though the Shulchan Aruch just told us that a healthy person does not have the power to manipulate his estate and give one child more than another child, however, says the Migdash David, he will have the power, not only when he's a shchimera, but even when he's a healthy person, to say which child should get which asset. Amalei Rapapa Labaya. Ben Leman Dami Yizben Tanan. Both according to the opinion that has the wording in that Mishnah Yizben. Main according to the opinion that says the proper wording in that Mishnah is Yerson, so at this point, we're learning that this is part of the Ksuba. And when does a couple write the Ksuba? A couple writes the Ksuba at the time of marriage. There are no children yet. And so how could he make this kind of a stipulation in the Ksuba when to people on a Dovish Labaloilam? And says the Gemara, Vafila Rameya, even if we follow the opinion of Rameya, who we're well familiar with throughout Shas, the Rameya holds the other Makna Dovish Labaloilam, that the person can make a sale with Dovish Labaloilam. Says the Gemara, what does that mean? The Dovish Yeshna Ba'olam, you can make a transaction with somebody who's here on something that isn't yet here. Avol ledovish she'ena ba'olam, to make a kinyan with somebody that doesn't exist yet. Loi, everybody agrees that you can't make such a transaction. And as we just explained, these children are not here. So if these children are not here, so then how could it be effective? Ella, how must we understand the Ksubas Benindichrin? The way we have to understand the Ksubas Benindichrin is because it's Tanai Bezdin Shani. It's a special rule that Chazal instituted. The simple pshat is, and the reason they did and can do so, is because of the rule of Hefker Bezdin Hefker that gives the Chazal Bezdin strong power. Hachinami, so then we could go begin with the shir that even this halacha that you're asking, that Mishnah is following the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan ben Breita, we don't need to say that Mishnah is following the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. Because there, it's a special Tanai Bezdin. Amalei, says the Gemara, the reason that Rebbe didn't say that to Reb Nosson is because if it was a special rule, a special Tanai Bezdin, so then why is it described Bishum the Kamapagle Loshin Yerson? Why is it described as Yerusha? It should have been said as a special Tanai Bezdin. But then, says the Gemara, Adam Abaya, then Abaya turned around and said, Lab Milsi Damri. What I just said is incorrect. The Tanan, because the Mishnah continues there, Mesechta Ksubas to teach us. Loi Kosov Lo, if a husband did not write into the Ksuba, the Nun Nukn Diavel Chaminoi, female children that you have from, that we have, you have in Yasmin Basi, after, if I were to die, they remain in my home, the Yitzchin bin Achsoi, and they get supported from my asset, add the Talukn govern until they get married. Chayiv, again, that obligation is there, even if it wasn't written in, Shutnai Bezdin. Vahava, so, and says the Gemara, let's look at the wording of these two Tanai Bezdin. Says the Gemara, one says b'matana, one was said with a wording of a matana, v'lezeh b'yerusha, and the other one was said b'yerusha. And says the Gemara, as we learned in our Mishnah, that if a transaction was done, l'zeh b'yerusha, l'zeh b'matana, afilu Rabbanan Maida, we learned on Daf Kufav, even the one that was said Birusha will work, because as the Mishnah taught us on Daf Kuf Chavav and Beis, in Kosov, if he wrote Matana Bei Metchila Bei Beemtza Bei Masayif, Devarav Kiyomim. So the Mishnah is teaching us that even when we have two people and two different transactions, the halacha is, since the word matana was used in one, then the word that it helps for both. Amalei Rav Nachumi, but then the Gemara says, Rav Nachumi says, Vistamir Rav Chanani ben Menumi said, Labaya, Ramayi de Bechad Beidin and Iskin. Yes, if there was one takana that was established at one time, then we say that whatever is the halacha on one will be applicable to the other. Says the Gemara, but maybe these two Tanai Bezdins, the Tanai Bezdin of Ksubas Bnei Nidkrin, the Tanai Bezdin of Ksubas Bnei Nidkrin, betray Beidin and Iskin were not made at the same time. And the fact that there's a Matana used in one is not an indication that the other one is also Matana. Says the Gemara, Loi Salka Datach. It doesn't make sense to say that these two Takanas are two separate, distinct matanas. The Ktani Reish, the Mishnah, and Daf Mem Tes and Masechta Ksubas teaches us. Zed Medrash Darish Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Lefnei Chachamim. This was the halacha that was taught the Yavna, the Keren B'Yavna, was taught in Keren B'Yavna. The reason it's called Keren B'Yavna was the Talmidim in Keren B'Yavna sat in rows like a vineyard. Bonim Yirshu, the sons are Yairish, the Ksuba of the mother, which, as we just explained, is what the Ksubas Bnei Nidkrin is all about. Vabonis Yizainu, and the daughters are supported from the father's assets, as we just explained. Says the Mishnah, Ma'abonim Eni Yarshim El Acha Avisas Avim. When does the Ksubas Bnei Nidkrin kick in? Only after the father passes away. Afbonis Lo Yizainu, the special rule about the daughters being supported only kicks in lachemisas aviyim. That means a very interesting situation. As long as the father is alive, we cannot force the father to support his daughters. Only after the father passes away does that halacha kick in. Now, makes the Gemara its point. If we'll say it was instituted in one bezdin, Hand the opinion takana mitakana. That's why we're learning the halachas of one rule, ksubas bin nidikrin, when the ksubas bin nidikrin, we learn the halachas of one from the other. Ella, yamit betray beidin iskin, if we say there's no connection, The two separate takanas. What does one have to do with the other? Says the Gemara. That isn't a compelling argument. I will say that they were made in two separate Beidinim. But what happened was, Beidin Basra, the second Bezdin that made the second rule, fashioned their rule, fashioned their rule on the base similar to the first rule, that they should be consistent and not say that one is before death applicable and one is after death. But it doesn't mean that they should be considered that they were done at the same time, and the word matana that said by one applies to the other and vice versa. Amar Rav Yehuda Shmuel, HaKosef Kol Nechosov L'Ishtoi. If somebody writes, and again we speak here, most Rishonim explain, about a Shchivra, and if somebody writes all of his assets, and the Rishonim, the Rashbam, makes the point that it has to be only if he wrote all of his assets this way. If not all of the assets were written that way, the halacha we're learning now would not be applicable. HaKosef Kol Nechosov L'Ishtoi, if somebody writes all of his assets over to his wife, what he didn't mean to do, says the Gemara, is to actually give her those assets. Rather, what it means is, Loyosa al apotropis, what he meant to say is that she should be the executor of the will. But he did not mean that he did not mean to make her the owner of those assets. And therefore, and he just meant to give her this special authority. Pshita, says the Gemara further, if he wrote his assets to Bnei HaGadol, to his adult son, again, we say that all he meant to do was, Layasa El Apotropos, all he meant to do was that to make him into an apotropos. I, says the Rishonim, we've been learning Rabbi Yochanan ben Breika's opinion that he means that a father can make a son, one son get the Yerusha as long as he's a son who's a Yerush. So some say there's a difference between when you say it and when you write it. The Gemaras that we've been learning until now that the father has the ability to give one son everything is only when the father said it. Here, we're he wrote it, then we say that it means only to make, that he only made him an apotropos, he wanted to give him the special authority. Another answer the Rishonim give is if a father gives one son more. So Rabbi Yochanan Breike has been teaching us that he wants to treat this son for whatever reason differently. But our Gemara, as we've just been learning, as we said by the wife, is that he used Kol Nechasov. And since that he used Kol Nechasov, so it's unlikely that he wanted to give all of his assets to one child, to one son. And therefore we say that he meant just to make him apotropos. The Baal Amor has a different way of explaining the Gemara. We say that, and just to follow up what I just said, the Rosh says, because the reason we say that is it's unlikely that somebody would want to give all of his assets just to one son and leave all the other sons with nothing. The Baal Amor has a different way of explaining the Gemara. He says, our Gemara is speaking about a situation where there is only, where there are young children. And therefore, to suggest that this father wanted to give all of the assets to the older son and leave the younger children with nothing is highly unlikely. And because it's highly unlikely to explain that that's what he meant, we rather say that what he meant to do was that he just, we rather explain that what he meant to say was that he wants to make him into a apotropos. Says the Gemara Itma, Rav Chineloi Bar Idi Omar Shmuel, Afilu, even if he wrote all of his assets to Kotna Mutal Barisa, to a child, a young child who's still in his crib, and therefore it's highly unlikely that that's a person who he wants to appoint as an apotropos. We could say that that's what he meant. Why? Because what he wanted to do was he wanted to assure that this child, who's indeed only a child now, will get the proper respect from his older brothers when he becomes an adult. Another pshat that the Bach explains, that B'nai HaKotan Mutl Barisa doesn't mean a young child in a crib. It means a young child, and what the father means to do with this is to show that I consider this child very sharp and bright and competent to be the apotropos. Says the Gemara, Pshita, there's no question where somebody has a number of children and he wrote all of his assets to Benoit, to one of his sons, or where Acher, and in a case where he wrote them to somebody who's not a child. La'acher, we say that when he wrote the assets to somebody else, he meant to give it to him for a matana. Why? Because when we have a son, so we assume that when we have, why would he give it to somebody else to make him the apotropos? So the reason, if he wrote it la'acher, and he's concerned about the status of his children being able to manage the estate, he should have said so. The fact that he didn't say explicitly that he means to make that individual his apotropos, we mean to give him a gift. Lebnoi, but when he wrote his assets, as we've been learning in our shir, to his son, we say he meant to make him apotropos. Leishtoi, says the Gemara, Leishtoi arusa, but if he wrote his assets to his wife with his only erusin, Lishta Grusha, when he wrote his assets to his wife, who is divorced from him, so he's not looking to make them into an apotropos. Because as we're learning, making someone apotropos is meant to show honor. Nobody's looking to show honor to a wife that he divorced, or to a wife that he made only that he only has erusin. So there, it means an apotropos. So the way we've been learning the Gemara is that if a father chooses to give the assets to one son, what he meant to do by giving the assets to one son did not mean that he wants to give all the assets to the son. He only means to give him, to make him into apotropos. And this, many Sfarim say, is the understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how he runs the world. One of the big questions is, where is the equity in HaKadosh Baruch Hu making some people wealthy and some people poor? As we know, there's a mitzvah tzedakah. And the reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in this way is because he wants to make certain people the apotropos. A person who, Baruch Hashem, is blessed with wealth, his attitude to the wealth that Baruch Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, gave him, should be an attitude that Loyasa HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just like the father who writes all of the assets to his son, our Gemara keeps on teaching us, is only intending to make him into a apotropos. That is supposed to be our understanding of the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives somebody wealth in contrast to other people. The way we should understand it and look at it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs apotropos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes us the apotropos, but not that this money is ours under all circumstances. Now the Gemara following this. Ibailu, Bas Eitz Labonim. If a father wrote over all of the assets to a daughter where there are sons, Isha Eitzel Achim, or he wrote his wife in a case where he has no children and he has no father, but his brothers will be his Yarshim. Or Isha Eitzel Bnei Abal, he wrote all of his assets over to his wife where the children, the sons that he have, are not from this woman. Mahu. And in order to understand, as the Rashbam says quite extensively, explains quite extensively, what is the question? When he wrote his assets to his daughters, to a daughter where he has sons, he could be that he wants to make her into an apotropos, and he wants that the sons should show her respect. Then the sons should show her respect, but maybe that's what he meant. Or we could say that he doesn't want her to have to have any financial concerns. And that's why what he meant was to give her all of the assets as a gift, and not just the making her a apotropos. Similarly, when his brothers are as Yarshin, so there's no concern that he wants to protect the covet of his wife. His brothers don't have to show a covet, and therefore an argument can be made that he certainly meant to give it to her as a matana. Or we could say that he has a lot of respect for his wife, and he trusts that his wife, more than his brothers, will know how to manage these assets. That's why he made it the apotropos. The same will be where the wife is not the mother of his sons. We could say, since then she's not the wife of her, she's not the mother of these people, so he meant to give her these assets. Or, because he wasn't worried about COVID, that they're not obligated in COVID to her. But on the other hand, he wanted that his sons should have respect for his wife. And how does he achieve that his son should have respect for his wife? By making her the apotropos. Those are the three questions, explained the Rashbam, that the Gemara just posed. Amar Ravina, Mishmei Derava, Bekula, in all of these cases, Lekana, she doesn't become, the women, the people are designated, don't become the owner of the assets. Leva, Leishta, Arusa, Veishta, Grusha. In those cases, it's clear that he meant to give a gift and not make her an apotropos. Ravira, Mishmei Derava, Amar, Bekula Kani, in all the cases, they become the owner of the assets. Leva Meisha Etzel Achim. Besides the case by a wife amongst his brothers, there we say that he wanted his brothers to continue showing respect to his wife even after his passing. And the way he accomplished that is by making her an apotropos. And Isha Etzel B'nei Baal, he wanted his sons to continue showing respect to his wife. And the way he accomplished that was by making her an apotropos. So what becomes clear in this Gemara is that even though it is an obligation for one to show respect to a father's wife, and as the Gemara Masechta Ksubos Daf Kuf Gimel teaches us, because the Torah says, Kabet es avicha, and we learn from the es, Eishes ha'av, but the obligation of respect is not that high. And one of the points that the Rishonim make is that the obligation to show respect to a husband's wife is only as long as the husband is alive, their father is alive. When the father is no longer alive, there is no obligation to show respect. And therefore, the halacha is, the Rishonim and Achrayim make a number of points. The obligation of showing respect to an older brother is different than the obligation that one has to show to a husband's wife. And therefore, as we're learning, when the husband is no longer alive, that obligation no longer exists. If the husband, when he's married to this woman, tells his children, you don't have to show my wife respect, since the entire obligation of showing her respect is only because of respect to the father, if the father says you don't have to respect, then he won't have to respect her. If it's a case, for example, that the father is a mumer, where there's no chiv kibar of aim on a father as a mumer, then they wouldn't have to show respect to his wife, because the entire respect is only based on the respect to the father. And therefore, in a reverse case, will be that if the father is not a mumer, but she is a mumeris, Since the respect to her emanates from the chiv of respecting the father, then the halacha will be one has to would have to continue respecting her. Now, the question will be, what will be if the father is not there? How far does the obligation of respecting the father's wife come? Is it only when the father is there, or is it when the father is not there? Now, and the final issue is, what will be if a couple is divorced? Once parents are divorced, and the father got remarried. So the halacha is that one has to show respect both to his father and to his mother. The halacha also is that the obligation of respecting a father precedes the respecting of a mother. But what would be if somebody's mother specifically tells you, I don't want you to show respect to your father, my former husband's wife? Since we're learning that the entire obligation of respecting somebody's wife is only out of respect to him, so it's not a direct obligation. Since it's not a direct obligation, an argument can be made that maybe you don't have to show that kind of respect. Or you could perhaps say that just like the father precedes the mother when they're married, and maybe always, part of showing that respect to the father is showing respect to his wife, even if one's mother is saying, I don't want you to show respect. And that's a question that we will leave open.